Lord, we thank you for this gathering here this morning, and we ask again for your blessed rain to help our crops. And we ask you to bless this money as it goes throughout your church and is given from your people's hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I welcome you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful day. I don't know if you really recognize it when you're driving in, but, you know, it's just still that wonderful feeling for me, you know, as I see the greenness of the earth and the blossoms that are still out there. Some of them are still lingering, even though we had some of them come quite early this year. And it's just so wonderful to realize that God created all this for us. And He loves us so much. And all He asks is so simple a thing, is to do those things which, in the ultimate test of everything, are of great benefit to us, that bring us joy. So I welcome you again. In the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Dan asked me to touch on one thing that he missed in the announcements, and that was that there is a priesthood meeting here Thursday night at 7 o'clock, I believe it is. Got to get my eyes out. It's Thursday, June 14th at 7 o'clock. Brad Galt will be presenting a class on the office of teacher. So if you would please be able to join us for that. Again, I'm so grateful for this family, for the joy that you bring to my heart when I see you come together and I hear you sing praises unto the Lord. So let's continue our worship with the singing of All Creatures of Our God and King, number 69.
Guide and direct us, and that you will be with Bob this morning, that as he has prepared to bring the words that you would have him bring, that we would be able to hear them, and that we will grow upon them. These things I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Excuse me. I would like to introduce those who are up here with me this morning. As you have already noted, the individual who brought the invocation was Priest Baron Brooker. And myself, I am Elder David Bates, and we'll have the benediction brought by Priest Caleb Postlewaite. And, of course, the person who will be speaking this morning, my dad, Elder Bob Bates. And I would like to read to you this morning from 2 Peter. This was a very key component for me this last year in my studies of the scriptures and the things that the Lord has guided and directed me to understand concerning my relationship with Him. And I'm not going to be able to share everything about it with you because it takes about 2 hour class to do that. But I would like to read this portion to you and pray that the Lord's Spirit will open up your heart and your mind to understand what He is trying to say to you in this portion of His Word. Excuse me. And Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that God will expand His word to you as you continue to contemplate that which He has given us. Excuse me, we're going to sing hymn 149.
scripture this morning comes from Isaiah. Now, Isaiah is one of my favorite prophets, along with Joseph Smith, of course. He seemed to have had a wondrous connection with God. In his sayings, a lot of the things that we realize in our lives comes to pass. For instance, the coming of Jesus and the salvation he brings us. I'm going to read from Isaiah 12th chapter. Those who want to follow me along, the second through the sixth verse. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and be not afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. May God add his blessing to the reading of the scriptures.
When in darkness you cried, and I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. Jesus, I give you my heart and my soul. I know that without God I'd never be whole. Savior, you've opened all the right doors, and I thank you and praise you from earth's humble shores. Take me, I'm yours. And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cry, and I strove to remind you that for those tears I
Well, I guess it's my time up here now. Thank you. Give me a while I clear my throat. It's always a pleasure to have my family around me. Being part of the service, I have no doing in that, though. That was all part of Dan's. Thank you. My subject this morning is going to be on kingdom building and stewardship. And oh, I can hear the voices now. Oh, he's going to talk to us about filing our tithing statements and paying our tithing, and he's going to hound us about that. Well, yes and no. I'm not really. I'd like to start out with a scripture in Luke chapter 18. The scriptures are so mindful of our needs and brings to us knowledge of what we should do. This one starts at, let's start at 15 through 25. And they brought unto him also infants that he might touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever is not received the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no ways enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, this is the ruler speaking. And he said, all these I have kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these sayings, he said unto him, yet thou lackest one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor. And thou shalt receive treasure in heaven, and come follow me. When he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was a very rich man. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they who have riches enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And stewardship, as I said, is an important part of this. But it's not the entire thing of the kingdom of God. In building the kingdom, in putting ourselves in the kingdom way, tithing is only a very part of it. I did have an experience at conference that caused me to want to think about this even more, though. And that was had to do with the problems we ran into with people who are concerned about the missions overseas and the money that we didn't have to support them and to bring to them the ministry of the 70. And the bishop got up and he was very adamant about the fact that the 70 should lay out a program of some kind to know what they're going to do so that the monies could be available. Then he pointed out also that only in the JCRB about 3% were paying tithing and were filing their statements. And this made a situation that was bad for the 70 because they were strictly out on their own. Well, later, after that part of the service was over, I asked one of the 70s, what if a bunch of us were to take out a bunch of money out of our savings and buy some of these Book of Mormons like we have back in there, a large quantity of them, and send them over to them so that these people have instructions and scriptures and things like that. And there was a pause for a moment, and he said, well, the problem there is that the Book of Mormons are in English, and the people can't speak English. In fact, they can't even hardly understand each other because of the different languages and the dialects are involved. And so it goes back to the needs of the 70 to do the missionary work. In Malachi, we had a problem with the Jews. Which was almost a similar problem. The people did not recognize that the leadership of the Jews was doing the proper thing and causing the proper way, and so they decided to withhold their tithing as a charge against them. And Malachi was very concerned about that. He apparently had some connection with the Spirit of God, which gave him this message. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even in the days of our fathers are ye going away from mine ordinances, and ye have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts, but ye say, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed ye? In tithes and in offerings. We are cursed with a curse. And ye have robbed me even in this whole nation. Bring ye forth all the tithes unto the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. But the kingdom way and the building of Zion is not far apart. It's needed. Funds are needed to operate it. Funds are needed to send the missionaries out. There's just more than filing and paying and tithing. There are things to consider from each other, like our conduct before the world, the effects of the world upon our lives, the iniquity that abounds around us, sin and addiction. We embrace it or we either fight against it. And this is not a fight like the wars that you read about in Afghanistan and things like that. This is a fight or a war for your soul. And that's what it amounts to. There's new forms of iniquity that's invented every day. Satan dreams them up to prevent us rightening in righteousness. He said that he uses willing mankind to do his works. There's things to consider in your relationship with God, in stewardship, and in kingdom building. Let me pose three questions to if you're here, and then something you might consider. What can you do for Jesus? That is the kingdom way. What does God want you to do? And the last one is, what are you willing to do? Let's consider each one. Can you save others from their sins? Can you save others from their sins? No, you can't. Only Jesus can do that. Jesus saves. You can encourage them. You can encourage them to righteousness and the benefits of it because of the blessings of God. You can love them. They need to know that. You can instill faith in Jesus by your own example. You encourage to repentance, and from repentance after faith, then baptism in water and the Spirit. That others might be saved, not by our actions, but by the saving sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the altar of the cross and the agony that he experienced for our sins. Our part is tending to the needs of others, both physically and spiritually. In one way that you could save a person, if a child walked out in front of a car and you grabbed him and pulled him back, you saved him physically, but you haven't saved him spiritually. If someone is drowning and you dive in and get them out of the water and save them, maybe even perform CPR if you know it, and bring them back to life, you again have saved them physically, but not spiritually. Section 86 is an interesting observation that which God gave us, because the word of wisdom brings us an opportunity to continue to build our lives in such a way that's acceptable to him and that brings us into physical health. Tithes and giving is the last thing. It helps in the mission field, and its basis is 1/10 of the increase that we have. Now, that doesn't mean we have to pay 1/10 of all that we have. It is essential that we understand that, and that in Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, the 22nd and the 28th verse, they specify that it is increase. So you, as your increase in your wealth comes up, then 1/10 of that belongs to the Lord. There's so much work in the building of the kingdom. Money not spent in sin is money available for God. That's an interesting thought. The things you can do all matter. What does God want you to do? That's the second question. He gives you the scriptures. He gives you all the guidance you need in the scriptures that brings about a kingdom way, a righteous living. There's the Bible, the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and there's an opportunity for us to study and understand healthful living together. Our whole soul, both physically and spiritually, also is something that God also wants to love. And God wants you to love Him. Disobedience is a problem because in disobedience, our time, our money, our efforts for the needs of others becomes a problem that we cannot solve. There are things in the world that we could easily avoid if we really felt the need to avoid them. Drugs, liquor, unnecessary living, medical care spent because you didn't properly care for your body or your loved ones. How about tobacco? I heard in the other day that the people who smoke had to pay $27 for a package of cigarettes in New York City. Now what a waste of money that is, especially when you consider the bad uses of tobacco. It provides us with lung cancer, heart disease. Oh, I don't know if you ever noticed on someone who smokes, they get warts on their fingers right where they're holding the cigarettes. I've seen that before. One of the good things, the tobacco, it is an herb, you know that. Let's go to section 86 again. We can't say that all things that God provides is bad or good without even including tobacco. Okay, here it is. Here we go. Section 86, the word of wisdom. 1D. And again, tobacco is not for the body, neither for the belly. It is good, not good for man. But it is an herb for bruises and all sick cattle and horses. Not to be used with judgment and skill. Now, I had an experience in West College congregation when I was there, and David, I think maybe remembers it. There was a young family there that had a daughter that might have been 3, possibly 4 years old. And at one time during their experiences, her little hand got caught in a door. Now, if you shut a hand, shut a door on your hand, you know how badly that can hurt. Or if you happen to reach out of the door when somebody else is shutting it and you happen to get in there, it can cause severe pain. The fingers have a lot of feeling in them. The worst thing you can have perhaps is a bunch of fingers with blood in underneath the fingernail, and if you put your hand down, it throbs. If you hold your hand up, it doesn't throb so much, but it still is very painful. This family maintained a package of shredded tobacco in their medicine cabinet. I don't know whether you've ever tried this before or not. But when this happened to their child, what they did, they immediately went to the medicine cabinet and got the tobacco and pulled out enough to cover the wound. They put it first they put it in the microwave and warmed it up. Then they put it in on the wound, just as you would a bruise, bound it up, and almost immediately the pain the child was experiencing eased up enough for her to go to sleep. The next day they took the bandage off and there was nothing wrong with her fingers, except maybe a little tear on the skin where the injury had happened, and that would heal up eventually. So you see, the word of wisdom is a benefits to us. They're instruction for our righteous living. It is the whole picture of stewardship, actually. God wants you to love him. To love is obedience. Not because it's required, but because God's love needs to permeate our very soul and cannot if you don't love him in return and in righteousness. The shell of iniquity on our body blocks out the love of God and the blessings that are available to us. You ever think about it that way? It's not an easy task. I have just finished reading a novel by Herman Manville. He's the one who wrote back in the late 1800s about the whalers of New England and how they went out and sought the whales because of their oil. And he wrote in that novel, if we obey God, we must disobey ourselves. And it is in disobeying ourselves that the hardness of obeying God consists. Does that sound logical at all? The problem with us is we've been asked, and Jesus said that it is the whole law and the prophets that we love God with all our heart, mind, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourself. The problem there is self, you see. God has created us with a mind, a fantastic mind. Just think of all of the information we can store in that mind if we're physically able to, if we're healthy. Think of all of the intelligence we can gain by study. And above all, we have choice and agency because of that mind. Our minds control our view to everything around us. Now, I don't know what exactly sometimes my wife thinks, nor do I understand exactly what everybody else thinks. But I view the whole world from my mind, through my eyes, and my understanding, and my intelligence, if I have any. And the study and the wisdom that I've gained through the years. I view the world in my mind's eye, if you can use that phrase. I try to understand the world using the makings of my mind, of my brain. I look at other people and I use my mind and my mind's eye for that purpose too. And therein lies the problem of self. It's what your mind takes, either righteousness or iniquity. Either God's blessing and love or the way of the world. Pleasures that they offer to you that Satan would like to get you involved in that have lasting effects that are negative on your health and your relationship to other people. Do you love people? For instance, when you meet someone new, do you say to yourself, that's a wonderful person. I really want to know who they are, and I want to feel a love for them and that they could love me, because being loved myself is essential to my well-being, you see. Or do we look at them and say, I'm not sure I like the way he dresses. Maybe we don't like all the tattoos that are up and down his arm or something like that. Or maybe we don't like the way they tailgate us when they're driving behind us. And if they get into the wreck, if they hit you, you say, what do you say to yourself? I love that person? I forgive that person? Or do you criticize them? You see, the difference is in your mind's eye. And it's open to influence. It can be open to God, or it can be open to Satan. And the things that are around us. And that brings us to the third question. One of the, we've covered briefly, very briefly, what you can do, got what God wants you to do. Now, what is it you are willing to do? Love God and obey. Love others as ourself. Be happy and willing to build the kingdom in Zion that includes love and support, and that includes filing and paying of our tithing and offerings. An interesting thing that Dan mentioned, he wanted me to note that all the forms you need is available to you, and we'll be sure to get them for you if you want them. Does this seem difficult? Yes, it is difficult. If you keep track of all your money the way we used to do in the early church, with a booklet, this goes to food, this goes to lodging, this goes to that, and then what else is left over, one tenth goes to God. That's a difficult thing. It's a very hard thing to do because it tends to burn us out and cause us to forget about doing what we should do. But if you eliminate sin in your life, if you eliminate all of these things which cost you time, both with the saints, time at home, money that you're spent in a way that can't be used anymore, you may find out you have money to burn. Or better still, you have money to give. And I think that's the whole thing. It doesn't seem so difficult. Sometimes it is the intent and not the detail that makes everything easier and important. And so I would say to you this morning, if at all possible, for the needs of the conference, for the needs of our congregation, we need to be able to give our portion of the tithing and the offerings so that we can build together a relationship that will bring the love of God into our lives and keep us against Satan. I hope I've not offended anybody by talking about money, because sometimes people feel kind of offended by that. Their money and their wealth is their private thing. And so it should be, I guess. But on the other hand, God knows all. He knows us. And if we're going to build that kingdom and go the kingdom way, we've got to be able to give to others and to love them. May God bless you this morning as I end up what I have to say. And I can assure you that I believe everything I say.
And I too would say to you that even as I read in 2 Peter that God has given you precious principles with promise. And like my dad was saying with regard to tithing and with regard to the word of wisdom, these are things that God has given you that you might live and live abundantly. Because every time He gives you a principle to obey, He gives you a promise. And in that promise, even you're giving Him one-tenth, He's giving you tenfold return. He says He would open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you couldn't receive. And I think it's in time that we decide, as He was saying in that last question, what are we willing to do? I think it's time we decide to grab hold of those principles and yield ourselves to the promise that God wants to give and pour out upon us. He's willing. He's waiting.
It's our decision.
I did forget one thing, and that was that I didn't mention that, and my dad did mention that my family, his family, gave a special music, and Sister Kathy Williams was the pianist this day. And I appreciate that very much. And let's continue with our worship and the ending of it with singing of 492, O Jesus, the Giver of All We Enjoy. And Brother Caleb Postlewaite will bring the benediction.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings you've given us and for this beautiful day and for the words that you've given your servant to share with us this day that we might learn those things that we might need to do to become closer to you. We'd ask that you'd help us as we seek to do your will and that you might help us be able to transform our perspective and our mind's eye to match yours, that we might be able to look at things as you would have us to look at them and to be able to see those places in our life that we need to improve and those areas we need to change to better serve you. I'd ask that you'd protect each one of us as we go from here today, that you'd go with us and that our minds might still be focused on you and that we would be able to enjoy the fellowship while we're still here. And we'd ask these things in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.